On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
Thank you, Julie. Like a lot of people, I've had a head cold this week, and my voice is not all that good, so hopefully it will last until the end of the sermon. It depends on whether the Lord's going to be merciful to you or not, whether you're going to suffer suffer the whole sermon or what. Today is Easter Sunday, and in our modern world it's difficult to forget this. Almost since Christmas, the shops have been selling Easter eggs and more recently Easter gifts and flowers. It's a public holiday and it's time for fun and pleasure. Spring is here and the weather is a little more pleasant. Well, usually it is anyway. Many take the opportunity to have the first little holiday break of the year. This means that for so many it's easy to forget that Easter actually is a very important religious event. Along with Christmas and Pentecost, Easter is one of the most significant events in the Christian calendar. It marks the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, for Jesus to come back from the dead is indeed revolutionary. The resurrection really did change things and make a difference 2,000 years ago in Israel. That difference was so dramatic that its effects are still relevant today, not only in Israel, but throughout the world and throughout the ages. But what changed? How did the resurrection of Jesus Christ affect people, and more importantly, how did it affect the disciples, the followers of Jesus? How does this significant event affect the followers of Jesus today? Well, just think about this very important fact. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, in a period of 3 days, the disciples began to change from frightened, despondent people with shattered dreams and hopes to exuberant, fun-filled people who had experienced a life-changing transformation. Suddenly, death isn't so final or ultimate. Suddenly, the evil which conspired to put Jesus on a cross doesn't have the final word. Suddenly, you and I can see how the sin which has separated us from God has been removed. What could we possibly say that would add to that or bring it home more powerfully? But I think the real key isn't saying how glorious Easter is, because we all know that. The real challenge is coming to believe in a deep way that our lives, in a deep way that lets us live our lives in total confidence that death is limited and no barrier blocks us from God. And for this, we need to believe that Jesus really is alive. So, how can we believe, really believe, that Jesus lives? How can we move from the belief that the death of Jesus Christ paid the price for our salvation to also believe that he is still alive. How can people move from a dead Saviour to a still living Saviour? How can we move from a risen Saviour 2,000 years ago to a Saviour who still lives, who still cares about his followers, and still cares about those who've yet to make the decision to follow him? Interestingly enough, the story of the resurrection that Luke tells us is about how the first disciples came to believe that Jesus lives. As I read this account by Luke, I was amazed that the first disciples, even when Jesus comes to them physically, had difficulty recognizing him or believing that something momentous had happened. What I'd like us to look at this morning is how those first disciples moved from their sadness and disappointment that Jesus was dead to a glorious confidence that everything was new and different because their Lord Jesus Christ was alive forevermore. I'm interested in how it happened for them, because that just might help me and us to move in the same kind of life-changing, world-changing Easter faith. The first thing that strikes us as we look at these accounts is how the disciples came to faith. And that was on the basis of their long-term relationship with Jesus. Look at these episodes. What do the angels at the tomb tell the women? Well, first they repeat, practically word for word, Jesus' prediction of his death and resurrection. Those words should have awakened memories of Jesus' teaching, which the disciples had heard when they followed him. And then doesn't it seem a little strange that the two disciples on their way to Emmaus didn't recognize the person of Jesus as he traveled with them? But when he sits at the dinner table, breaking the loaf of bread, it comes flooding back to them. That memory jogged their understanding. Then we see that Jesus also showed his hands and his feet to some of his confused disciples. And then he ate a piece of cooked fish with them. This was the same Jesus who'd done the same thing with the disciples many times before. And it's in those memories that the disciples recognize and believe that he is alive. So the first answer to the question of how the first disciples came to believe that Jesus lives is that their faith was rooted in their previous relationship with him. It was the daily getting together and of eating meals, exchanging small talk, getting used to each other's habits, which became the foundation for Easter faith after the crucifixion. And if we want to experience the life-changing conviction that Jesus lives, then we also need to get to know Jesus. Easter faith isn't where we get started as Christians. Easter is at the end of the story. In the Bible, the first ones who believe in the return of Jesus from the dead are those who knew him, who really knew him. Resurrection faith wells up in those who know what it means to talk with Jesus every day, to do as he asks, to study his words and actions in the Bible. The faith comes to followers, but followers are for the long haul, and the time will come for us to realize, as we become followers, that the Lord lives and reigns. Now, the next thing we see about the disciples coming to faith in the resurrection is that they all did it differently and at different times. It's something that I'd never really seen before last week while I was preparing this sermon. It suddenly struck me that what's required for faith comes to each and every one of us through all of the five senses. And what are the five senses? Well, taste. Some of the disciples come to faith because of food or table fellowship. Sight. Jesus appears and disappears in these stories. Touch. For some of the disciples, Jesus offers his hands and feet and says, "Handle me." Hearing, the angels and Jesus teach the disciples as part of the process of their coming to faith. And smell. Well, smell's a little more difficult. Maybe the smell of broiled fish awakened the disciples' memories of sitting around a campfire with Jesus eating fish. But the importance of this observation about the various senses is that everybody seems to come to faith in the resurrection differently. Some need to hear something, some need a visual clue, some need to touch Jesus. And Jesus provides what each disciple needs. And that's a comforting thought. Our Lord knows what you need in order to believe, and he gives you what you need. Did you ever ponder the marvellous truth that your relationship with Jesus Christ is like no other? What happens between me and Jesus is different from what happens with you and Jesus. There's something unique and special about what you have with Christ that isn't duplicated in any other Christian. And it would be good to try and remember that. Maybe some other Christians make a lot of noise and fuss about their faith. Well, that's fine. But don't feel that you have to be pushed into their mould. Maybe you enjoy a quiet adoration and peace between yourself and Jesus. Maybe you appreciate Jesus with all the powers of your mind and want to honour him by talking and writing and teaching. Maybe your worship flows through your hands and you're a great doer for Christ's kingdom. However it is for you, just know that Easter faith comes to people differently. Just be at peace with that and be true to yourself. The day will come for you when the risen Christ will suddenly come into your presence and it will be your name on his lips saying, "This time it's you I'm calling." Finally, notice that in these resurrection episodes, they are as much about Jesus' absence as his presence. Luke reminds us vividly that as the risen Christ comes to us in different ways, so he also disappears. So when the women arrive at the tomb, they learn that Jesus isn't there. And on the road to Emmaus, just as Cleopas and the other disciple catch on to the fact that it's Jesus who joined them, he disappears. The ultimate disappearance comes shortly after the point where this morning's text ends, namely at Jesus' ascension. Have you ever noticed in your own life that sometimes God seems blazingly near and real, and at other times he seems to leave us for days or weeks on our own? We'll see this pattern in Luke's resurrection episodes. So what can we make of this? Well, I think that any parent would understand instinctively the importance of being present sometimes and absent at others. Sometimes you just have to leave your children alone. Sometimes you have to hover over them and supervise the living daylights out of them. But it's an art form knowing how close to be at any given point. And surely God works this way too. If you and I were in a constant state of feeling that God is hovering over us and filling us with his spirit, we wouldn't have space to mature as believers. Sometimes in the long absences, you and I learn to use spiritual discipline and to sustain ourselves. We learn to keep faith alive by getting together with other disciples. We learn to keep God in our hearts by reading and studying the Bible. And the rhythm of presence and less presence appears to be just what you and I need to grow strong and self-sustaining in our faith. So what does that mean for us? Well, perhaps we need to learn to appreciate how Christ can be alive to us in different ways. Maybe the risen Christ isn't going to be coming to you in the same warm, emotional way that he came to you at a special worship service you once experienced. Maybe as an adult, Christ is present for you as a slow and steady light shining through your disciplined prayer time and study time. Maybe you'll go to church and listen to the sermons and get nothing out of them. Not at this church, of course. But maybe you do get a little sense of God's majesty or Jesus' victory in the unusual places. For you could be sitting watching a wonderful film, or you could be reading a book that touches you, and God is there. Jesus Christ can be alive there. Just take him where he comes to you. All I ask in this final point is that you would open yourself completely to the ways that Christ can be alive to you. He can come loud and proud in a worship service. He can whisper to you in the chaos of family life or your workplace. Jesus can confront you sternly through the criticism of someone who was fed up with you. Maybe like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Jesus is much nearer than you ever dreamed. So, how do we get to the stage where we believe that Jesus still lives? Well, with two just simple words. Know him. When we know who he is, then we'll know that he is. That he lives. And knowing that changes everything. Amen.